This episode of TopCast is brought to you by UCF Online. 20-plus years of award-winning online excellence, over 75 online programs, one of the largest and most innovative universities in the U.S. ucf.edu/online. From the University of Central Florida's Center for Distributed Learning, I am Tom Cavanaugh.
And I am Kelvin Thompson.
And you're listening to TopCast, the teaching online podcast. Hi, Kelvin.
Hey, Tom.
So this is a bit of a strange episode for us, a very special TopCast.
More special than usual, Tom.
Yeah,
it's unique.
It is unique because we have had a TopCast first, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, right.
This is our first re-recording.
Yeah, believe it or not, you thought that, you know, we had done multiple takes on all those other episodes
because they're so perfect.
But no, we're one take Tom and Kelvin usually.
We have had a couple of episodes that have been very lightly edited.
Mm-hmm.
Very lightly. Because frankly, we just don't have the time.
That's right.
To do much more.
That's right.
But yeah, this one was one that we actually recorded for us while we were recording this last week in New Orleans at the Online Learning Consortium Innovate Conference. Mm-hmm. And like last year, we wanted to try and do something on location.
That's right.
So we took our recording devices out into the French Quarter.
We thought it was going to be a lot of local color.
Yes. And it was perhaps a little too colorful. it happened to be during the opening day of the French Quarter Festival.
It was colorful.
It was basically a mini Mardi Gras. it was crazy. We saw it all.
There was this guy that came up right during the recording. Yeah, was like staring at us like 6 inches from our faces. Yep, it was great.
Yep. And we had all kinds of other people in various states of inebriation wandering by.
Right.
There was a guy just probably 5 feet from us who was wearing a suit with quotes written all over it, and he was the quote guy. You could go up to him and get your own custom quote.
Yeah.
We could hear the music coming. We had found a place that we thought was the quietest we were going to find.
Uh-huh.
And we walked all around Jackson Square.
Oh, we did.
And it was actually in an alley on the west side of St. Louis Cathedral there in Jackson Square. And it actually wasn't a terrible location.
Yeah, it was good.
The terrible part was me and my inability to understand how to record on my iPhone. Even though I've done it before, I hadn't used that particular app, and it didn't work.
So we had like half of a...
Yeah, and as interesting as Kelvin is...
That's right.
Hearing just his half of the conversation probably would not a good podcast make.
That's right. Even I would testify to that, yes.
So we were drinking coffee. We did go to a local coffee barista, and it was a interesting, colorful little place.
Yeah.
And it was right there in the French Quarter, only about a block or so from Jackson Square.
Right.
And you want to tell the listening audience what we were drinking
when we actually
recorded this?
So as I recall, Tom, I was drinking a Rwanda Nyamagabe from Passion House Coffee that we got at this little coffee place. They don't roast their own. They, you know, pull in high-end coffee from other places. So this one was Passion House Coffee. And you were drinking, I think, a latte?
I did. I got a latte.
We obtained both of those from this little boutique coffee location, like you mentioned, in the quarter called Spitfire Coffee. And I thought that was an appropriate place for us to obtain our coffee for the episode recording for today's topic, because it was during the OLC Innovate Conference, and we were talking about innovation. We're going to talk about innovation here in a moment, because Spitfire was the name of an interceptor aircraft that was kind of innovative during World War II and widely credited by the public at the time as a significant factor in English successes during the Battle of Britain. So I think we have a photo of you in Spitfire. We'll put that on the show notes page. And
to prove that we were actually in the
French exactly Quarter. That's exactly right. Just some evidence. We want to be evidence-based here on TopCast, Tom. But you can see, if you look behind Tom in that photo, and you'll actually see this big like curtain drape thing that actually has this all these illustrations of the Spitfire aircraft. So that's kind of cool. So that was kind of the reason. That's what we got to that coffee. And so here we are back in the studio.
Back in the studio. And it is much quieter here.
It is.
Less colorful. Not much less colorful. We don't have people in strange costumes staring at us from 6 inches away. Yeah. But no place like New Orleans.
That's true. It has got its own vibe.
And it was fun. It was a great conference. And we thought that we might base a podcast episode on a session that you and I did mm-hmm. while at that conference.
Yes.
We were in their innovation lab mm-hmm. and did a bit of a kind of a seminar workshop that seemed to go over pretty well. And it's on the topic of innovation. So your coffee choice of mm-hmm. the Spitfire was well chosen. And maybe we can just sort of jump in.
Yeah. So I guess what we were going to hit some highlights, hit some relevant concepts from that session here on this episode. And this is really all about leading innovation in online education. So we have some constructs, some models to share, right? So maybe, Tom, could we start with just operationally defining innovation as we're talking about? I swear some people, they say innovation and they mean a new piece of technology, you know, or something. But how are we going to operationally define innovation?
Yeah, well, we're defining it within our own kind of narrow online learning world. And I should say that you and I co-authored mm-hmm. a chapter that is forthcoming in a book. Hopefully, by the time people hear this,
or within the next 5 years,
have been out.
That's right.
You know, academic publishing is an industry ripe for innovation. Let's just say. At some point, it will be out.
Yes.
And there is a lot more detail about what we will talk about today yeah. in that chapter. But one of the things we do mention is this definition of innovation mm-hmm. as implementing new ideas in online education in order to bring about better outcomes.
Yeah.
So it's a means to an end.
Yes. Not an end to itself, which some people, I mean a conference like Innovate, right, there was a little bit of that
yeah.
in some cases. Not using a broad brush, but sometimes we talk about innovation so much, it seems like it takes on a life of its own. And I remember our colleague Alex Pickett was talking about during the conference, we've had her on Topcast before, Alex, great person, Open SUNY. Alex was saying, well, hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves, right? There's got to be some kind of a need that you're going to address.
Right.
That's the reason you're innovating, not just for the sake of innovating.
So sure. I think that's yeah, we hear a lot about disruptive innovation, and it's become kind of this thing, well, we must disrupt. Well, why?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it needs to be for a reason. And we'll get into some of that in a moment. Maybe we should start with kind of some contextual visioning mm-hmm, of innovation.
Yep.
So you have prepared a quadrant,
yep.
a four-box quadrant
yep.
of how to think about visioning.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of breaks down into the here and now,
yep.
which would be the bottom left the upper left of the quadrant, the here and now, which is more like current operations,
mm-hmm.
the day-to-day work.
Yes, the quotidian.
Right. And then we have the there and then, which is the opposite corner, which would be the bottom right, which is sort of this distant vision that doesn't yet exist yet.
Right.
Doesn't
right.
yet exist yet. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the other boxes where you have here and then, which would be like strategic planning.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do here, but in some point in the future that's maybe
5 years, 10
distant,
years, 20
right.
years, whatever.
And then, of course, we have the there and now,
mm-hmm.
which is like what is happening at another institution right
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
that we should be aware of. And I assume we'll do some sort of a link or something
to this. Yeah, we'll
put
some of this.
Because it's easier to see than to
yes.
hear.
right. And I think, you know, we found that useful to kind of to frame out, like if you've got a need and you're going to go in search of a solution, you're going to innovate, your vision is a good starting point, right? And as you said, there's the here and now, and we want to kind of, if all we're going to be concerned about is just kind of doing day in and day out, what's that old cliche? If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you always got, right?
Right.
And so if we're imagining better outcomes, well, you're going to have to look outside of that immediate quadrant. Not to say that you don't want to just kind of keep up with the next software update and keep on, you know, maintaining a certain level of service, but there is a place for looking at things like the Horizon reports and the current issues in teaching and learning, you know, from places like EDUCAUSE and
7 Things You Should Know.
Yeah, and the Online Learning Consortium and WCET, and you know, all of these organizations put out, you know, trend outlooks of some sort, and that's helpful. But it is, like you said, good to, well, what's happened at Institution X? They seem to be doing a good job with a similar situation, and so that helps. So I said to you not long ago that, you know, there's this famous art quote that all art is a series of recoveries from the first line that you draw. And so in some ways, we might look at innovation as a series of recoveries from your first cast of the vision, you know, and
right.
can takes you a certain direction. But apart from that, where do you go in search of your vision, and what are you going to try to solve? We've come up with this little heuristic, as you said, that was in this article that we're writing, that we've written, that is going to see the light of day at some point, and that we focused on in the Innovation Lab session. So you want to maybe just kind of summarize the little heuristic, and then we'll kind of take it apart, elaborate on it?
Sure. So it's an acronym, naturally, mm-hmm. called FIRST.
FIRST.
F-I-R-R-S-T.
Maybe so, it's FIRST.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's roll the R.
FIRST.
FIRST. Like whether FIRST. You're Scottish or Latin know. Or something.
Something.
But there's an extra R in the FIRST.
That's
and so
right.
the acronym stands for Follow the Energy,
mm-hmm.
Invent the Future,
yeah.
Research and Make a Decision, Recognize resource limitations,
mm-hmm.
solve the big problems, and take action.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we should just quickly run through each of those.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, the F of FIRST, is follow the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's really important, I think, for leaders and aspiring leaders, particularly in online education, to recognize when there's already something cool and interesting happening.
Mm-hmm.
If there's some sort of critical mass coalescing around some particular kind of initiative, particularly if that even tangentially aligns with something that you're trying to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
How can you nurture, fertilize, water that so it can grow and help you kind of accomplish what you want to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
or can shape that to kind of feed another agenda. And it sounds almost exploitative the way I'm describing it, but I don't mean it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it's sort of, you know, taking advantage of good work that's already happening and not squashing it just to fit some preset agenda, but kind of recognizing when something organic is happening and doing what you can to nurture that.
Well, it's like the antithesis of the Sisyphean journey, right? I mean, we've all encountered this experience of it feels like you're pushing this ginormous boulder up a hill and it's going to roll over you and flatten you at times. It's the opposite of that.
Yeah, and so maybe an example that we'll draw a few examples from our own personal
mm-hmm.
experience here, but
yep.
one is our adaptive learning initiative. We've been working on an adaptive learning pilot for the last several years, and it's expanding and having some success. But we've mostly been working at a kind of enterprise level with one particular platform that's been successful for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also discovered that within one particular college that a publisher platform is reaching a certain level of adoption
mm-hmm.
that we have to take notice of that.
Right.
And rather than try and force the faculty in that college to adopt this enterprise platform that we've been using, maybe mm-hmm. a better solution is to encourage them to keep using the thing that they've been using
mm-hmm.
that has similar outcomes. Maybe it's not exactly the same, but rather than trying to get them to culturally adopt something completely different, to just leverage what they're already doing
mm-hmm.
and recognize that there is already this critical mass that can serve our larger adaptive learning goals.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's good.
All right, so the next one. Invent the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is in many ways kind of the opposite
mm-hmm.
from follow the energy, where you want to take advantage of something that's already happening. Invent the future is where you declare kind of a desired state and do what you can to create that. And that can be a lot of work.
Maybe it is Sisyphean, right? I mean, not everything can be that way, but if you are dedicated to it, right? If you are like, not, I believe in this desirable end state, I'm willing to work for it, you know, pick the hill that you're willing to die on, you know, I'm going to die on this thing. You know, they can't all be that, but maybe it is worth it.
Yeah, maybe. And so the example that we've selected is badges.
And it feels a lot like a Sisyphean
journey. It does. We've talked about this on this podcast before,
mm-hmm.
where I just feel like I keep pushing this badging agenda that we just haven't been able to get a whole lot of traction on, but we haven't given up on it. I think micro-credentials, achievements,
mm-hmm.
stackable credentials.
All that.
Call them what you want. I think that there's a place for them in our higher education ecosystem.
Sure.
And we've just kind of got to figure out the code on it.
Yeah, right.
And so we're trying to invent that in many ways here at UCF. Now, I know other schools are saying, well, we're doing it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we're not.
We're working on it. That's right. And it's maybe worth saying that in our little heuristic, right, of the, you know, F-I-R-R-S-T, that these are not necessarily sequential steps all the way through. Like you just gave the example, those first two, follow the energy, invent the future, those are maybe even either or,
right,
or maybe they work kind of synergistically somehow.
Yeah, so this isn't a cookbook.
It's
not a sequential ordered steps that you need to follow. These are just different aspects of how to think about innovation.
That's right.
And it could be that any particular initiative touches multiple of these.
That's right. And so we offer them in the spirit of, huh, well, I hadn't really thought about that. This one piece of the heuristic I've now found value in. I hadn't thought about it if you brought it up. So that's why we're offering it. So we're on to the first R. Tom, what is that
R, research and make a decision.
Ooh, those are good.
So you have to be able to do your homework and base any decision you make on the research that you do. And it's really as much about understanding why you want to do something as it is kind of understanding that you have to do something. Let me see if I can make that more obscure. maybe with an example. So MOOCs.
MOOCs,
yeah. I think most people listening to this have heard of MOOCs, Massive Open Online Courses. They were all the rage not that long ago, and it was a bit of keeping up with the Joneses. A lot of institutions...
Following the energy.
Yeah. Institution X is doing a MOOC. Oh my gosh, we better do some MOOCs too.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of a land rush into the MOOC world. And I'm not sure every school was completely sure why they were doing it.
Right.
They hadn't really done the research to make a decision about getting into the MOOC business.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to paint a broad brush. Some schools did have a good idea. You know, we want to do this for outreach purposes, or we want to do this for marketing, or for university brand exposure, whatever it is. But if you were just doing it because you perceived some competitor was doing it first, and you thought, well, I better too, that's probably not the best reason to get into an innovation.
Right.
It's going to just cost you money.
Sure.
and if you don't know what your goals are, you know, you can't research really if you're going to be able to accomplish those goals.
And I guess too, though, part of that research is staying attuned to general trends and innovations. And, you know, we probably are all like Siri, we're all listening all the time. We're all watching all the time. And when you see something that looks like it has some potential, then you know, you dig in, you learn a little bit more about it, right? So research can then bifurcate. It can be go and look at what other people are doing, what other people are publishing. But then at some point, it might involve piloting something, trying it out, collecting data. So that research can be both the more passive variety of reading, consuming, but it can also be some doing before you make a sort of a committal decision at more of an enterprise level. Would
yes,
you agree with that?
I would. And I think it also implies that you should be as data-informed in your decision-making as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
And it's about mitigating risk.
Absolutely.
You want to try to have as much information, as much data as you can so that your decisions are based on something other than just a hunch, which can be bad.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So the second R. Recognize resource limitations.
Yeah, we all recognize the resource limitations.
And I'm going to make a fairly controversial statement here, although I didn't make it up, that in some ways, resource limitations can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
What, Tom?
How
dare you say that?
That's right. We never have enough money, whenever.
You know, there's a definition of creativity that if you had all the resources in the world, if you had unlimited resources, there would be no need for people to be creative.
Sure.
Because you can only be creative within boundaries, within limits. And if there were no resource limitations, then the solutions we would come up with would probably be wildly inefficient and probably not the best solutions. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, resource limitations forces us to kind of optimize things and come up with creative, innovative ways to accomplish things. In our chapter, we quote Arthur Cook, Arthur Kirk, the former president of St. Leo University, who said something along the lines of, it's not about the resources you have, but mm-hmm. how resourceful you are.
Right, right, right.
And I really like that because mm-hmm. I think there's some wisdom in it, especially when you think about a school like St. Leo that, mm-hmm. that innovated its way to success, completely changed their model. Southern New Hampshire is another example
that.
You want to talk a little bit about what we do here, maybe with Hack Day?
Sure. I mean, I guess to transition into that, resources, I think we often think in terms of money and equipment and so forth and personnel. Do we have enough people? But at some point, it's digging deeper into those personnel resources, right? So we've talked a little bit before in a past TopCast episode about Hack Day, or what's Google call it, 20% time or mm-hmm. something like that. So these kind of stimulating and in a sense, following the energy to kind of mix up our heuristic a little bit of the passions of our individual personnel. So as you may remember, we give a whole day once a semester where, hey, you can work on anything you want to work on. And it'd be great if it was, you know, kind of related to your job. It didn't have to be. And so we've had student projects gin up, all kinds of interesting things. Sometimes they parallel where the industries go in. Sometimes they're totally out there somewhere, and somewhere that's in between. I remember there was one a while back. I forget what it was actually called, but I think of it as a real-time engagement tracker. Right? You know, you're sitting in class as a student, and like, you know, moment by moment, you can, okay, losing interest. So you click, 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 losing interest, click, 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 click. And then versus, oh, that's interesting, click, 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 click. And so the instructor in real time could see a kind of an aggregate dashboard of, I'm losing them. Yeah. It's kind of interesting, right? And so we've seen sometimes those little snippet projects actually turn into something.
Yeah, in fact, every time we do a Hack Day, and we do it 3 times a year,
yep.
and it's one day yep. per semester, the staff can work on whatever they want. Almost always, there's a significant percentage of them that we just implement.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
When we did it very early on, I remember the team mobilized our website mm-hmm. in 24 hours.
Made it mobile friendly.
Yeah, made it mobile friendly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've since redesigned it and have some kind of responsive design now.
Yeah, yeah,
That was really cool. And it's not always programming related.
Right.
One time, the admin team completely organized the supply closet.
Yeah.
And we vote on these things. And the winner gets like, you know, prize and glory.
Or we had a cross team group that did a style guide for
right.
you know, our content and
that's right.
so forth.
All kind another, of things. Well, the reorganized supply closet came in second.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a worthy
it
venture.
Was. It was. Somebody else cleaned and fixed up our golf cart.
Yeah, that's right. And it needed it.
Yeah.
But so all of those, I guess, in a weird sort of a way, are examples of being resourceful with our personnel resources and our passion.
That's right. So Hack Day is a way for us to have mm-hmm. a very efficient, you know, way to innovate stuff in 24 hours.
That's
it's
right.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So S mm-hmm. of first.
F-I-R-R-S.
Solve the big problems. We have long since moved past the day when we measure ourselves by our own metrics.
Hmm.
We must.
What do you mean by that?
We must be evaluating ourselves based upon big metrics, like what is your president measured on? What is your board measured on? You know, what is your provost measured on? Those are the kinds of metrics that we need to be directly supporting. So we can't just count, gee, how many online sections did we create last year and call that a victory? It's in the service of something, whether it's access or in an institutional mission or revenue generation or whatever it is. It needs to be something that is big and tied to an institutional mission.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we're really big into around here, maybe wherever you are, it's big there too, and that is decreasing time to graduation, and increasing our graduation rate, and increasing retention, and so forth. So we have all kinds of metrics across the entire institution that are being drawn into tight alignment. And so one of the things that we're talking about right now is how we can use some of the institutional data that we have to identifying pivotal courses that may negatively or positively affect a student's likelihood of graduation in the major, looking at those and saying, what can we do to make them more successful? And for instance, just as a for instance, we know that historically our blended courses outperform face-to-face and online and everything else. So one simple question to ask we've been talking about is, well, are there blended sections of those courses? If not, maybe it would be strategic to look at some of those and select them and blendize them and recognize some benefits. That would be low-hanging fruit. Or if there are already blended sections, what might we do to underscore and add emphasis to that? And we've had similar conversations about applying adaptive components in such courses and so forth. But that kind of alignment with those institutional goals is a whole different deal than just saying, okay, well, what faculty are coming and wanting to make blended courses?
Mm-hmm. That's a good example. So let's turn to the final letter in our first.
A very important one.
And that's take action.
Yeah, how about that?
And in some ways, this is a little distinct from research and make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because take action implies that you're never going to have all the data you need.
That's right.
You have to get yourself real comfortable with the notion of risk.
Mm-hmm.
Being a leader, particularly in something like online learning that is continually evolving, involves inherent risk. And if you're not comfortable with that, then you're not going to have fun in this job.
Yeah.
But if you've done your homework, you've mitigated that risk as best you can with data, if you recognize you will never have all the answers, then, you know, don't get caught in the analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, not doing something is a decision.
Mm-hmm.
I heard someone say one time that decisions are what leaders make when the data don't present themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all the information was there, you wouldn't need a leader to tell you what to do. It would be evident. Everybody would know. But we don't live in that kind of a world, and
right.
We don't work in that kind of an industry. So without any sort of clear direction, mm-hmm. Sometimes you kind of have to, you know, put on the goggles and jump in the pool and
right.
Assume you're going to be able to swim.
So I would say, Tom, would you agree that all these, the follow the energy, invent the future, research, make a decision, recognize resource limitations, solve the big problems, take action, all those individual pieces live in a relationship with each other, right? They're not necessarily sequential steps, but there is yin and yang balance with all of those. And we're advancing that any innovation in our online education space could benefit from just kind of a run through that list and think about, well, is this relevant? Is that relevant? How am I doing this? How am I not doing that? Oh, I hadn't really considered that. So it all touches innovation somehow or other.
Yeah, I agree. I think these things are all related somehow, some maybe more directly than others.
Yeah.
But it's a nice way to kind of take a step back and look at the projects, innovations that you are directly involved in and kind of understand how they fit into this ecosystem. Why are you doing it, or how can you help yourself do it a little bit better?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good place to kind of wrap it up.
Yep, sounds good to me.
So it's a leader's job to recognize opportunities, marshal resources, know when to act, and how to accept risk.
Mm-hmm.
This can be difficult in highly complex, often political environments, kind of like the ones we work in. This context includes both short and long range considerations, keeping up with rapidly emerging trends while simultaneously attending to the responsibilities of the daily operations, what I call occasionally popping your head up to look at the horizon, requires a particular set of leadership skills.
Yeah.
The concepts and the first heuristic that we've just gone over are intended to serve as a potential structure for online learning leaders as they navigate the steps of what we have called in the past the delicate dance of strategic decision making.
Yeah, shout out here to an earlier episode. We did this live top guest episode at an OLC conference in front of a live audience, and that's where this whole first framework was really born. Right, coming out of some of those ideas in that episode. So we'll post a link to that previous episode in the show notes as well.
So if you haven't had a chance, give us a review on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Check out our show notes.
Yep.
And feel free to sign up as a registered listener.
In fact, we might slip this in, so do it now. We might just have in there some of this bonus content, you know, like we might have had a recorder running with a primitive audio feed from our Innovation Lab session. You might get to hear that if you were a registered listener. And there's other little behind-the-scenes opportunities to connect with Tom or me. We're going to throw some things in there periodically. So it would help us to know who's listening, and it'll help you to get access to some of this other content.
Yep. Bonus, special, exclusive content.
So I should give the URL, though. That's bit.ly/topcastclub to be a registered listener. bit.ly/topcastclub. Lowercase, no spaces.
Awesome. So until next time, for Topcast, I'm Tom.
I'm Kelvin.
See ya.